Now, often when you have a guest on, you'll over-exaggerate their worth. If you have a guest on who's promoting a movie or TV show or a book, you'll say you love the movie or the book, and you never read the book, and you didn't really like the movie. But my next guest, here's how I can tell you I'm a fan of his product. It's this app. It's called BetStamp. It's a great one-stop shop for all your information when it comes to betting. He's the co-owner of it. It's Rob Pizzola, and I went to tonight, Toronto, Arizona. I click it with my thumb. I go to player prop bets. I look up and down, and then I see a great topic of conversation, and I start my interview with Rob Pizzola by asking, Rob, betting the under for goals scored by Nick Ritchie is at minus 773, according to your app. Is me betting on that, is that easy money, stupid, waste of time, YOLO? Your thoughts on this ridiculous bet?
First and foremost, I'm not a big Nick Ritchie fan. What I will say, though, is they are playing a second half of a back-to-back. So Nick Ritchie is probably going to get a little bit more ice time tonight. You'll see the depth guys utilized a little bit more, especially against a bad team. So normally I wouldn't have a problem. Even paying expensive prices like that, I have no issue with it. But tonight, a situation against Arizona where potentially the Leafs are leading for a lot of the game, they might play their depth guys a little bit more. It's not something I would typically advise for tonight's game.
So what you're saying is plus 378 that Nick Ritchie pots a goal tonight, which would be two goals in three games for him.
That would be. I mean, you basically need Nick Ritchie to score just above one out of every four games against Arizona to make that a valuable bet. I don't necessarily think that he does that in the long run. It's probably a pretty good line if I had to guess. But I haven't really talked about Nick Ritchie props a whole lot, Matt. So I'm just spitballing here.
By the way, I loved the game story you played out, the scenario of which Nick Ritchie could score, and that is actually a pretty logical A to B to C about how it would happen. And honestly, I was just the main point was just, again, to give praise to the app because it is really easy, and I was going up and down on it, and I saw that Nick Ritchie one before the show. I'm like, okay, I got to talk about this on air today because it's one of those ridiculous bets that you see, and then, Darren Ravel tweets out, someone bet $5,000 on Nick Ritchie, and then that becomes a thing. Going to actual real hockey topics with you. Malkin returns. Malkin scores twice. They beat Anaheim 4-1. They have far better goaltending than, say, a team like Colorado. Colorado is at like plus 550. They're the favorite to win the Stanley Cup. The Penguins are plus 1500. This is a team with like 10 UFAs, including Letang and Malkin. So in the locker room, it's like, guys, it's now or never. I throw that out to you, Rob, because I'm tempted on the Penguins at plus 1500 to win the Stanley Cup. How say you?
I feel I get everything that you're saying there. I think we have to account for the fact that the gauntlet that basically Pittsburgh is going to have to go through in the playoffs in order to get to the Stanley Cup and win it, because their division obviously has Washington, the Rangers, and Carolina. Pretty much all those teams are shoe-ins. I mean, it's only halfway through the year, but those teams are basically shoe-ins to make the playoffs. So regardless of who they get in the first or second round matchup, it's going to be a tough one. Then they're going to get the winner of basically another very tough gauntlet between Florida, Tampa Bay, Toronto, and Boston. So the path for Pittsburgh is through four very good teams in order to win the Stanley Cup, whereas the West is a lot easier for Colorado. Now, with regards to Pittsburgh, there is one bet that I really love in regards to them right now, and I actually placed some of it this morning, which is Tristan Jarry. You can find him still at 18-1 in some spots to win the Vezina. Now, depending on the sportsbook, you're going to do some line shopping. But to me, that's a great bet with the season that he's had so far. Pittsburgh's obviously suffered through a bunch of injuries. So if they get to the end of the year, win the division, they continue on this pace, I think he's going to be right in that conversation with the Vasilevskis and Igor Shesterkin, Jack Campbell. I mean, those guys are probably still priced appropriately in the sense that they should be favored over Jarry. But at the end of the year, if Jarry still has a goals against below two, his save percentage is this high, and his team does this well, he's going to garner some serious consideration.
Yep, you know what? That's a great point about Jarry. I didn't realize the numbers were there. And the bigger picture one is, like, I think sort of the big picture thing about betting on futures for the Stanley Cup, you almost don't want to bet on the East. You know, like it's like one of those years where the NBA, where 8 of the 9 best teams were in the West, and then whatever team LeBron was on in the East, you know, those were like the top 8 or 9 teams in the NBA. It kind of feels that way this year, where, you know, the Bruins are like in 4th or 5th in the Atlantic. You know, you got the Leafs, you got Florida with, you know, Conrad or Kodak Black being a big fan, and the Lightning and all these other teams. It feels like you just want to avoid futures if it's on an Eastern team.
I think the East has just so much parity this season, and the 8 teams that end up, you know, fighting for that Eastern Conference title are all going to be very good teams. Whereas if you look at the West, you have your Colorado, you have your Vegas, you have Calgary, which I think is like a fringe contender. They could certainly win and put it all together, but they're not at the same level as the rest of the elite teams. And then you kind of get a drop off to everyone else. So I think certainly the path is easier for a Colorado or a Vegas or potentially a Calgary. I mean, if you really think Edmonton can pull it off, I just don't think that they have the depth to do that. You could go that route as well. But certainly I think the East this year is much more difficult to handicap than the West.
Yeah, by the way, I'm glad you mentioned Calgary on their final show of 2021. I was like, that's the team if you want to, you know, get a value play, look at the Calgary Flames. Every year there's always the team that spoils the playoff party. Why not Jacob Markstrom and the Flames? Moving to the more here and now, the Leafs taking on Arizona. I'll throw out some of the things I like, and you can either agree or disagree. The Leafs on the puck line, I know it's back-to-back, and they were in a shootout, but Arizona truly stinks. So the puck line is at minus 120. And a couple ones I like. Tavares to bounce back, he's at plus 154 to score tonight. Not a great game for him last night. And then what about Phil Kessel? Why not a fun one? He's plus 271 to score against his former team. So those are kind of some of the bets I'm looking at.
Okay, so I'll start with the Leafs puck line. I typically do not like situations where I'm laying 1.5 and some vig on top of it in order to bet that team,
yeah,
especially on the back-to-back. And the reason I don't particularly like it with the Leafs tonight is because you're getting the Peter Mrazek start. This is not anything against Peter Mrazek. I think he's a fine goaltender. He could start probably on at least a third of the teams in the league, but he is a big downgrade from the Jack Campbell that we're seeing right now. So Arizona theoretically could get badly outplayed here and still end up scoring some goals, especially against Mrazek off a long layoff. That's the only reason I don't like it there. I do like the angle on Tavares. I think that's a pretty fair price on him to score, so you're getting roughly 3-2 there. No problem with that. I feel like the Coyotes will probably play a very defensive type of game, but I don't know how long they can stay in that shell. They've been trying that against teams recently. I watched them play a little bit against Nashville the other night, and that kind of just, yeah, the wheels fell off for them. So I don't mind that one. In terms of the Phil Kessel, not a big fan, but as a Leafs fan personally, I could totally see it. Like, I can see the storyline where Kessel scores a goal or two against Toronto. Maybe it leads to like an overtime win or something. I don't know. It's not something I want to place my money on, but as a Leafs fan, I guess I'm tuned to see stuff like that.
Yeah, we all are. I think that's where my eyes went there. We're joined by co-owner of BetStamp. We're joined by Rob Pizzola, and again, professional sports bettor. Moving over to the NFL. You know what? Before I start going on about ones I like, is there a line, is there a game or two that you're really leaning towards? Is there one you're going to avoid completely? I'm curious how you're approaching. And again, there's still a bunch of days until the weekend, but how you're approaching Wild Card Weekend.
I've placed one bet for Wild Card Weekend. That doesn't mean I'm only going to have one bet, but it was on the Raiders when they were +6. I wanted to make sure I got the +6 on the Raiders because there's obviously a significant difference once it moves off to 5.5. 6 is a semi-key number. I don't like the Las Vegas Raiders. It's a shame, in my opinion, that we have to see the Raiders and the Steelers in the playoff instead of a team,
yes,
like the Chargers. But regardless, I think this is actually a tough matchup for the Bengals. And people look at the previous meeting this year, they're going to see that 32-13 final score for Cincinnati. That game was 16-13 with 5 minutes left, and then the Bengals scored a bunch in garbage time. But Las Vegas was +1.8 net yards per play in that game. The Bengals offense averaged just over 4 yards per play. That was their lowest total this entire season. This is a defense that will give them trouble, and this is the type of defense that's given the Bengals trouble all year because Joe Burrow is great against the blitz. He's got the best numbers in the league against the blitz this season, but the Raiders blitz lower than any other team in the NFL because they can generate pressure with Max Crosby, Yannick Ngakoue, who are very good edge rushers. So they drop a lot of guys into coverage. they can get after the quarterback. That's not really conducive to what Cincinnati can do well on offense. And on top of that, the Raiders have a top 10 run defense in terms of DVOA, success rate, pretty much any metric you want to measure run defense. So it's not like the Bengals can just pound the rock with Joe Mixon either. So you're asking them to lay, you know, you need them to win by 6-7 points in order to win a bet. And I just don't see that big a margin between these two teams. So Las Vegas is my favorite side this week. I made this point spread in this game 4. So I still think there's a little bit of value to the Raiders.
I think my only concern, one is logical, one is illogical. The logical one, they're 5-5 in their last 10. Those five wins have been by a total of 15 points. But also, Rob, how can I have any faith in a team to even cover the spread, any team that lost to the Giants this year?
Well, that's true. I mean, there's been a couple of them. The Eagles lost to the Giants this year. They'll be playing against the Bucs this week as well. There's been some bad losses, for sure. I get it. I can completely get the hesitation with the Raiders, but let's not forget, too. I mean, they've had some big wins. They went to Dallas on Thanksgiving, and they won that game 36-33. So, I mean, over the course of an 18-week season, you're going to get teams that put in some stinkers and teams that put in some great games. I just don't like the matchup for Cincinnati. I feel like that offensive line is very bad. And you go up against a really good pass rush, the Raiders don't need to score a ton to cover this game. They are going to have to score a little bit, but I feel like Las Vegas is being a little bit undersold because people just don't really want to see them in the playoffs, so they don't really want to bet them.
Oh, yeah, and the Max Crosby point is a great one. He was fantastic in that Sunday nighter, and the Bengals decided they had to choose protect our quarterback or get him a weapon. And it worked out with Ja'Marr Chase. But we saw Joe Burrow the last couple of weeks. The guy's getting hit a ton. I think last one for you there, Rob. If I'm looking at underdogs, and I'm probably with everyone else on this one, especially if Trent Brown comes back, who Pro Football Focus has as the best line offensive lineman in the NFL, I love the 49ers as a 3-point underdog in Dallas. That's you know, and I think I'm not alone, and I'm just curious your thoughts.
You're talking to a Dallas Cowboys fan. I was watching last week's games and looking at the scenario generator and saying, I hope the Cowboys don't play the 49ers in the first week. I'd like to see the Rams. I'd like to see the Cardinals. I think there's a lot of things that the 49ers do well where they will match up very well against this Dallas defense, particularly where you look at the Cowboys defense. They're bad in coverage over the middle of the field. They have Leighton Vander Esch and Keanu Neal as their middle linebackers, who are horrible in coverage. And now you have George Kittle, who is just a beast over the middle of the field. Jimmy G loves to throw over the middle of the field. So I think that works in the 49ers' favor. The problem for me is I like to bet numbers and not necessarily teams. And we're getting to the point here now where three seems like the right number to me in this game. I think the most likely outcome is Dallas wins this game by exactly three. The 49ers are healthy in the secondary now. They're getting a lot of players back for missing against the Rams, but they're also not a very good secondary, and they're going to have to cover a very deep receiving core for the Dallas Cowboys. So I think this is going to be the game of the weekend. I'm most interested in it, not only because my favorite team is playing, but also because these teams haven't played each other this year. It's the only matchup this week where the teams haven't played each other. I think whoever wins this game can make a deep run into the playoffs. I completely understand the 49ers and like wanting to be on them in this game. For me, I just made the game 3, so it's going to end up being a pass.
Yeah, no, it's true. It's and you're right. Either of these teams can go on a deep run. Like, it's funny. I like San Fran in this game. I also said earlier in the week, Dallas, there is value if you want to bet on them for our futures. Check out the app. It's called BetStamp. Rob Pezzola, co-owner of it, professional sports bettor. Always appreciate it, Rob. Thanks so much for joining the show.
All right, Matt, good luck with your bets this week.
You as well. Take care. That is Rob Pezzola. All right, on the other side, let's go over some of the things we saw last night in one of the more impressive games we've seen from the Raptors, and it was a game that they lost. That is coming up in a moment. I'm Matthew Kaws. You are listening to Gameplay right here on TSN 1050.
Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog. Weekday afternoons from 4 to 7 on TSN 1050.